Farm worker families often have to migrate from state to state to find work, and that makes school challenging for their kids. For over 40 years, the Wyoming Department of Education has run a program to support this vulnerable student population. But that has now come to an end. Wyoming Public Radio's education reporter Tennessee Watson looks at why.
On a tour of the farmland surrounding Torrington, Wyoming, Simon Lozano remembers a time when these fields were bustling with the sugar beet harvest.
It was like 90% beets.
But now, after driving about 5 miles outside of town, we've passed only one beet field, and we haven't seen a soul out working the land.
Back in the heyday, you would have seen a lot of workers.
Oh gosh, yeah. You'd see people out working in the heat of the day, all day.
Lozano spent 30 years working as a teacher in Torrington. His students came from families who owned and worked these farms. In fact, before he was born, his own family migrated from Mexico up to Wyoming to work the land.
I spent some time thinning beets and weeding beans as a kid. I can remember, as a fifth grader, looking down a row of beets thinking, I'm never going to get to the end.
But Lozano's time in the fields was short. Unlike many farmworker families who have to migrate from harvest to harvest, Lozano's grandpa found permanent work on a ranch. That allowed Lozano to settle into a school district and focus on his studies. Soon after starting his career as a high school language arts teacher, he was recruited to help run a federally funded initiative called the Migrant Education Program. Lozano says migrant kids would show up in late April, and he knew their families had migrated before they could finish up their school year.
Their regular school education was interrupted a lot, and so we just tried to fill the gaps.
Lozano knows firsthand that farmworkers are in the fields sun up to sun down, doing back-breaking labor to get the crops harvested, so their kids need extra support.
We had kids from birth through high school in those early years, but we would enroll around 200 kids, so it was quite a program. It really was.
In addition to Torrington, there were also sites in Powell and Moreland. At the program's height, there were about 900 migrant students statewide, but by 2008, that number dropped to 246. Lozano attributes this to several factors. Beets are now bioengineered to require less weeding, and machines can do the harvesting, so human hands are no longer in high demand. And Wyoming struggles to compete with the low price of imported sugar, forcing many beet farmers to abandon the industry altogether. For the last several years, just over 100 migrant students have been officially recorded statewide. And as a result, this year, the WDE decided not to reapply for federal funds to support migrant students. That makes Wyoming just one of four states without a migrant education program. And that was hard news for Lozano to hear.
I think it shows very little forethought, compassion.
Farmworker families have the lowest annual income in the U.S., and studies show that nationally, less than 50% of migrant students graduate from high school. So, even though the numbers have dwindled, Lozano is certain there are still migrant students in the state who need support. But officials say the decision was motivated by more than a decline in enrollment. Joanne Nemoto directed the program for the WDE until it ended. She says for Wyoming, there was concern that the migrant education program required the exchange of too much student information.
The migrant student information exchange, which we called M6, did not meet the contractual standards with third-party accessibility.
There was a worry that individuals outside of the migrant education program could access data on migrant students, but she wouldn't say who. I floated this concern by Sandy Peterson, who directs North Dakota's program and who has worked in migrant education for over 30 years. What's your sense of the conversation amongst directors about M6? Are other people wary of it?
No. That sounds like an excuse, but no. You know, when you have a migrant program, you have to have a migrant database.
Peterson says the information in the database helps teachers down the road pick up where students left off, things like reading and math assessment scores and grades. I also checked in with Dr. Bill Bansberg, who coordinates a migrant literacy program in 11 different states. He says heavily guarding migrant student data is standard practice.
This is something that is drilled into every single migrant program from the U.S. Office of Migrant Ed. All of this data, you know, needs to be password protected. It needs to be confidential.
For Bansberg, it's more important to provide continuity in education than to worry about overprotecting student data.
I mean, because somebody doesn't want to fill out the paperwork? I mean, is that it? I mean, really? That's the reason you're not going to have a program?
Bansberg is surprised Wyoming wouldn't take the $200,000 allotted by the federal government and would give up the opportunity to support migrant students who pass through the state, no matter how few there are now. Dickie Shaner is the Wyoming Department of Education Chief of Staff. He says limiting data sharing is a strong enough priority for the state to forego that funding.
And so in this situation where the amount of money we were to receive from the federal government and the population that it was intended to help really was down to a very small number of students, and we did not believe it was necessary to accept that federal money.
But Nevada and New Hampshire, who also have just over 100 migrant students, are continuing their programs. In an upcoming story, I'll explore how they're making that work. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.